praise the Lord. Can everybody hear me this morning? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Really sweet and precious and anointed entrance into the Word of God this morning by Gabby and her brother Quentin, my brother and sister in the Lord. I am so thankful for the faithfulness. Let's give them a round of applause one more time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Great day to be alive. Great day to be in the house of God. I want to first start off a little bit with an update on Pastor. I literally had to kick him off the phone with me the other day. I mean, that man can talk. I'm talking about him when he's not here, but he can talk. And I was especially pleased to know that he can talk so much. He was the old Pastor Mike. And so he is feeling much better. He is really thankful. Let me tell you, to the body for the support and the love that everybody has shown towards him. He said the text messages, the emails, and when he said emails, that caught me off guard. That means he's looking at his email. So I was really just pleased in talking to Pastor Mike. And one of the things that him and Sister Jackie wanted me to convey to all of you is their love and appreciation for who you are as members of Life Church. We are one body, one family, and when one family member is down, we all have a hurt, we all have a need. So we are thankful and that Pastor Mike is doing much better, and I'm sure that Sister Jackie, according to Pastor Mike, is probably doing back handsprings right now in their living room. She's doing tremendous, so which is great. I will tell you that we are, as a church, have done everything that we can to ensure that we are walking in the state laws of Illinois. So our protocols are sound. I want you guys to know that. Our protocols are sound. And also, your adherence to them has to be on par. So just remember that. It's easy to get lax, especially when we like to hug on one another and shake everybody's hands. But we know we live in a fallen world, don't we? And there are things that are happening today that we must adhere to and take notice of. And that's part of my message that I will get into today with. Secondarily, we are probably, most likely, going to take offering, which you say, Brother Q and Brother Arnelius, at the end of service. There are pans that are located by the doors as you exit. We feel this is the best protocol for us all together. And also, we'll have a pan here for our pay down for the church. And so we are making strides, but we know that the enemy wants to throw in interruptions into our lives. So that's something we will adhere to as well. I know that many of you probably have gotten my phone invite. Did you get my phone invite? Anybody hear me? How did it sound? Was it all right? I mean, I'm a little bit enthusiastic at times. I got to pipe it down somewhat. But I did send out a second phone invite as well. And you may see those much more frequently as we move forward because we as an elder team feel that that is a great means of communication for everybody. Does everybody else feel that way as well? I mean, for those who don't have email or don't have text messaging or may not want to give out their number from a text messaging standpoint, we want to make sure that we're involved in every aspect of communication for you because we love you and we really want to know where you're at. Are you hearing me? We really want to know where you're at. And so on top of that, I would say to you that if you've had a change in a phone number or a cell phone number, are you hearing me? Can everybody say that with me? If you've had a change, say that with me now. If you had a change in a phone number or cell phone number, please let us know. I would say most likely if you can get to somebody to let us know what your number is and make sure that we can track that to confirm that you're on our call list for the phone invite, and also you're on our email list, so you will know what is happening when you're in church. Can everybody agree to that? Would you like that? Everybody agree to that? Because I think that that's really essential for our body. And then lastly, I just want to say thank you to the elders. Where would we be without Brother Dave and Dave? It's the Dave and Dave show, right? And where would we be without our pastor? But I can tell you, as me being, I would say, they'll laugh at this, as a junior member in age to the elder team, I feel privileged to have these brothers in my life. These are my brothers. I love them. With Pastor Mike's guidance as well, they've been a real asset to me spiritually and foundationally. And I know that Pastor Mike meets with Brother Jake and Sister Michelle a lot, and I'm sure you could say the same thing, brother. Can I get an amen from you? Is that all you got, Jake? When you're up here preaching, brother, you're preaching to the, boy, I'm telling you what, I'll say it for you. Amen! Amen. So it is good to know that we have people that are serving in the body of Christ. And I would also say this, too. It is good to know where you stand as a Christian. Are you hearing me? It is good to know where you stand as a Christian. Is a Christian a person of faith? And part of my message today, as you may have gotten on the phone invite, was this. The title of it will be, What Do You Do in the Midst of Crisis? What do you do in the midst of crisis? If I were to take a poll right now, besides the pandemic crisis that is going on, see, you didn't even know you were in the midst of crisis, some of you. You know the world's in a crisis, right? With the pandemic. If you say, Brother Ray, you know what? I don't think we're in a crisis. Well, to date, I think I saw a statistic, and I may not be completely accurate about this statistic, but in 6 months, 215,000 people almost are dead. Several million people have been infected by the virus. So when you say, Brother Ray, I don't believe we're in the midst of a crisis, we are in the midst of a crisis that the world has never known. Well, they have in past, but I think since the United States came into existence, there's probably only been probably 7 or 8 or 9 pandemics that have existed on this world. And the devastation of those can be attributed to a lot of different things, but the root of it is sin, evilness in this world, catastrophe, a fallen world that has happened. And so not only is the world affected by a crisis, you have individual crisis, right? Anybody agree with me on that? How many can raise your hand that they're going through something, or something's affecting them right now where they're sitting at? Anybody raise their hand over there? Don't be ashamed. Let me tell you, that's considered a crisis, right? That's considered a crisis. When you're going through something, something has affected you, something that you're concerned about, something that you're worrying about, that is a crisis on top of a larger crisis. And what it really points to is the age that we are living in. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you have to have the right armor when you're going through a crisis. You have to know where you stand as a Christian when you're going through a crisis. And so as we endeavor this morning to get into the Word of God, and I will tell you this morning, I have, oh boy, it's only, Brother Al, I'm doing pretty good this morning. It's only 9 after 11. That means I have another 4 hours to stand here this morning in between you and that nice juicy steak dinner you're going to invite me to, right? Boy, that was the loudest laugh this morning of them all. Okay, all right. So I know that's not happening. So, but the reality of it is, we will walk through a lot of the Word. How many love the Word of God this morning? I do love the Word of God. So we will walk through a lot of the Word of God this morning. And Sister Michelle will put the words up as we walk through Scripture. I have several scriptures that I will walk through this morning. But one of the first scriptures that we will walk through, and I will probably look at the screen and read it as we read along, will help guide us. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. Familiar passage of Scripture. The first scripture that we're going to bring up is Luke 15, 11 through 32. Anybody know what that passage of Scripture is about? Can you guess? Prodigal son, right? Prodigal son. Luke 11, 15, 11 through 32. And the Bible reads, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that have fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Let me stop there on that verse. Remember, it says that he encountered a crisis here, a famine here, a crisis in that land. And he began to be in want, which is typical of a crisis. Next verse. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he realized he had an illumination about his circumstance. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what things these might be. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was hangry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a goat or a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let everybody give the Lord a hand clap at the opening scripture, our main text this morning. Very, very noted verse, a great verse. And subsequently, I want to read a scriptural verse found in John 15, starting at the 11th verse, reading down to the 25th verse. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain where? In you. That my joy might remain in you. That your joy might what? Be full. Next verse. This is my commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, and if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you do what? Love one another. 18th verse. If the world hate you, ye know that it did what? Hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what does it do? It hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will all keep yours also. So, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Okay, amen. The world hateth you. What will you do in the midst of crisis? You know, some time ago, years ago in my life, I had an experience that I want to share with you this morning. I lived in a rural town in Indiana, college town, basically, but it was a rural town, Muncie, Indiana. I lived there, and I belonged to a church, and we had a few prominent members, and one of the members that we had there We called her, believe it or not, saints, Crazy Daisy. Crazy Daisy Bonner. Daisy used to always say, Brother Carter, the life you live is the life you die. And she would often need help. And throughout the years, my pastor had continually given her help. And one day we had an elders meeting, and somebody interrupted our elders meeting and came in to talk to Pastor Mitchell at the time and said to him, you know, that Daisy Bonner, every place she goes, she keeps running you down. Running you down. And I saw his expression change on his face to the point that he got angry. And he said, I had just given her a space heater to heat her home. After all that I've done, the money and everything that I've done for her, I'm going to go over there and give her a piece of my mind. And I was like, whoa, here it comes. He got up, went over her house, knocked on the door, there to take back his possession, which was a space heater, and to tell her that she was no longer welcome after all the things that he had done for her. He said that when he knocked on the door and she opened the door, the Holy Spirit rose up in him and the Holy Spirit rose up in her, and all they could do was hug one another and weep. He said, I didn't weep that hard when my mother died. He said, all we could do is weep. And the Lord spoke to his heart, mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. Have joy with those who have joy. He couldn't say a word. He couldn't say, I'm sorry. He couldn't say anything but cry. And they hugged one another. He said they sat down on the couch after a few minutes, and Daisy said to Pastor Mitchell, you don't know my story. He said, what do you mean? I've known you for no. She said, you don't know my story. She said, I was raised in the backwoods of Arkansas, the only girl out of eight men. She said, for years they had their way with me. I would feel so dirty that I would get in the bathtub and I would scrub my skin to fall off. I felt so dirty. I couldn't escape this guilt or this crisis in my life at the time. I didn't know what to do. I thought about killing myself, but what would that do? It wouldn't solve the main issue. There was a void in my life. She said, then one day, somebody shared Jesus Christ with her. In her way of thinking, dissipated. Her actions, although trapped in the confines of this abuse, led her to a new perspective of where God created a way of escape for her. And as he created a way of escape for her, she said, I learned a very valuable lesson that who I need in the midst of a crisis is not man's help, but I need God's help. I need God more than I need man. And she also said, what I did was develop an insatiable appetite for Jesus Christ. How do you get there? How do you grow? How do you know him? She said, I developed everything I could do because I knew it was him helping me and not man. And as God brought this back to me, I began to think about what she was saying. Those things were brought back to me. And as she went through this abuse, the world These ugly men hated her. They abused her, but Jesus loved her. She came to the place, even though she was abused by these men, to learn to love these men despite what they had done for her. And I'm telling you today that nobody could do that but Jesus. Nobody could do that but Jesus. Secondarily, in the midst of her crisis, one of the things that she had to have, just like the prodigal son, she had to have a change of her way of thinking. She had to think differently. But that comes through a renewed mind and a regenerated spirit to understanding the love of God. She said, Brother Ray, if you knew how much God loved you, it'll blow your mind. We called her Crazy Daisy. But she was Crazy Daisy because God's love penetrated her heart and she had something that was profound that she was delivered from. Are you following me? The love of God will change your very thinking. When you're going through a crisis, you're having trouble in your marriage, you're having trouble with your children, you're having trouble with your health, the love of God will change your way of thinking. He will chart a new course for you. Instead of looking at man, you will begin to look at him. And your appetite will become insatiable, a very strong desire to know about the things of God. She said, Brother Ray, I had to change my way of thinking. Secondarily, not only did I have to change my way of thinking, just like the prodigal son, he had to change his way of thinking. He encountered a crisis that brought him to a place of reflection. She said, secondarily, I knew that when I met Jesus Christ, all fear was gone. Are you hearing me? In the midst of a crisis, the greatest thing that you can do is fear not. Knowing that God is on your side. When something is happening to you, there's no sense in you being worrying, doubt, and unbelief, but you have to have a faith that's based on the foundation of Jesus Christ that man cannot move. Fear not. Everybody say that with me. Fear not. Fear not. Stand on the principles of Jesus Christ. So her thinking changed. Her outlook changed. The first thing she said to me was fear was gone. The prodigal son said, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father, but I don't know exactly how he's going to receive me. When I messed up so bad, I just destroyed everything I had. I wasted my father's living. I did things that I thought that I would never do in my entire life. Where am I to go? What will they think? But I have no other place to turn to but go home to my father. So he went home, just like Daisy Bonner, went home to Jesus, who had been calling her all along. And the prodigal son, as Jesus used that fantastic parable, he came running back to his father, not knowing what to expect. But his father, before he even got there, had a plan despite the condition he was in. Are you in the midst of a crisis, right? God has a plan despite what you do. He has a plan to rescue you. He has a plan to deliver you. He has a plan to guide you directly to him. So this prodigal son came and he said to himself, I'm going to go home, but I'm going to ask my dad to hire me as one of his servants. See, he didn't believe believe he was worthy enough to come back as a son. But he came back. And when he came back in the arms of a loving God. His thinking changed. He got over the fear factor and he came back. The next thing that happened to him was humility. If you could put Sister Michelle, the Bible verse, Psalm 25:9 up. I want you to read this with me. Repeat this. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Another way of saying this is the humble will he guide in judgment, and the humble he will teach his way. What Christ does do for us is it humbles us, does it not? It brings us to a place where no matter how we thought, no matter how much money we had, no matter how many connections we had, no matter who we knew, no matter how much education we had, Christ is telling you, you don't have anything in your possession or any connections or enough educations to deliver yourself. It has to come from the hand of God. And the way to that is through humility. Humility. The Bible says that he guides the humble. He guides the humble. So your thinking has changed. Your fear, you've gotten over because you know there's a comfort there. And you know what has changed about your persona. It's to humility. And what humility does is it changes your attitude. You ever met an egotistical person? None of you met an egotistical person? I will tell you, once in a while, my wife tells me that to straighten me out. Come down from cloud nine, Ray. Come down. Come down. Watch yourself. Don't step over this boundary. Watch yourself. But you know what? My attitude. And I heard this said once, can affect my altitude. How you look at things when you're in the midst of a trial or a crisis means a whole lot. And what it does is it puts you back into focus of where God wants you to be. And what I mean by focus where God wants you to be, what I mean by focus where God wants you to be is no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what the result may be, no matter what the outcome may be, regardless of the situation, your focus is a trusted, dependent focus on Jesus Christ. Don't care. Don't need to know. I'm with him. I'm in him. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what else is going around me. Doesn't matter really what's happening to me. What matters is that I'm in him. My insatiable appetite. And Daisy said to me, that was one well of a session we had, me and Pastor Royce. Never had it before, never encountered anything before, but when I got to Royce Mitchell, he reminded me so much as he explained to me of the prodigal son's brother. Prodigal son's brother said, you know what, Dad? I've been doing these things all these years and standing in your house, you wouldn't even give me a goat. You wouldn't even give me a goat. You never did any of this for me. And the father said, you know what? I came to you, but you don't understand. You're not completely understanding what's going on. You have a bad attitude. You missed the focus. You're not in humility. You missed what was going on. You fear more about what he's going to do to you, and you don't need to fear. You need to change your thinking, son, because you're wrong. Because your brother, he was dead, but now he's alive again. And Royce Mitchell said to me that when I had the opportunity to reflect, all I could do was repent. He says, I came in there with the wrong attitude. This lady was in crisis, and I was used as a hand to help that crisis and that moment of situation. My job was to continue to support her as a pastor and pray for her and continue to support her, not to get an attitude, not to focus on me, because it was not me, but it was Christ. Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? Did he not say that? Did he not say, when I was in prison, did you visit me? Scripture goes on to say, when did we do? The question was, when did we do this? He said, when you did it unto the least of my brethren, you did what? You did it unto me. The point being, when you're in crisis, be like Christ. Are you hearing me? When you're in crisis, be like Christ. Change your thinking. Change your outlook. Your humility. He draws the humble. Change your attitude. Change your focus. And Roy said to me, he said, that next Sunday, I was ashamed to get up in the pulpit because I had been taught a royal lesson by the Holy Spirit that I had overlooked. Be very careful. We can overlook things as we walk as Christians if we don't stay close to Christ. We can overlook things. And he said, but all I could do is remember what God had taught me in the Word. She was in the midst of crisis, just like the prodigal son. The second son did not see the crisis that the younger son was in. Didn't see it at all. And what did he say? Give it to me. Give, give, give. It's all about me. But the father said, you missed the main point. It's not about you. It's about him. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not about you. It's not about your situation. Although that's part of it, right? It's not about all your concerns. It's about him. And when you develop that insatiable appetite for Christ, when you yearn for him and you want him and you want to be fed by him, he's leading you. You're asking God for everything, every second of the day. You may be like Crazy Daisy. That's probably why she talked to herself a whole lot. But she was a child of God. And she knew God. That was the way she was able to get through her circumstance. The way she was able to get through her circumstance. Michelle, could you turn to Isaiah 41:10? Bible says this, fear thou not. Brother David, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Brother Al, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Sister Gwen, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. Sister Tempe, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. I will help thee. I will bring you through. In all ways, God will do the lifting. One more time. Fear thou not, Brother David. for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, because I am with thee. He's with you, Tabor. He's with you, Darlene. Crisis? Yes. Crisis will go and they will come. But in the midst of the crisis, God is giving you a way out through a relationship with him. Some time ago, I've shared this story maybe once or twice. There were two artists. One artist, let's say, was on my left, and the other artist was on my right-hand side. And they were in a contest. And the judge said to the artist, okay, I want you to paint a picture of peace. The one artist on my left-hand side went to work, started painting a sun and grass blowing and an ocean. And boy, that looks really nice. Dolphins playing in this ocean and children around. And the judge said, boy, that's a terrific picture of peace. And the other artist painted a black sky, lightning flashing, trees blowing over in the wind. I was almost as if it was a tornado or hurricane. And the grass just blowing furiously. And the judge said to the person to my right, he said, is that your picture of peace? He said, yes, sir. He said, why did you paint that? That's not a picture of peace. He says, ah. He said, unless you can have peace in the midst of the storm, it's not really peace at all. So in the midst of your crisis, even though all things are dark and gloomy, you can still have peace in the midst of the storm. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I'm done way early. Should I open up another section of the Old Testament or something? I am done way early this morning, but that is what God has put on my heart. How many has a need for prayer this morning? I know that we are distance. Did you enjoy this morning? Okay. How many has a need for prayer this morning? Is there, and you're in the midst of crisis. That's why you need this prayer. Anybody need the prayer? Okay. Thank you, brother. Don't be afraid to raise